Welcome to your podcast listeners to another review episode here between the bubbles. I'm Darren.
And I'm Brayden.
And we were reviewing comics that came out on October 17th. We got a lot of DC, Image, IDW, Marvel, and of course Valiant.
Marvel had a great week this week. Just wait till you get to my reviews.
Yeah, Brayden's going to be gushing over a lot of their books.
Basically, every book that came out this week from Marvel, with the exception of one, was great. One was just okay, but we'll talk about it.
Yeah. And then DC had an okay. It was good, but wasn't.
Hey, the two I got were great. So
yeah, but the other ones I got were meh. Anyway, so let's get started on DC Vertigo, Batwoman 13. Brayden, get us started.
Oh, Batwoman 13. Crossovers a lot of times are gimmicky to me, and I don't really like them.
Oh, this is totally worth
but
it.
But
totally
even if it wasn't J.H. Williams' art in this issue, I feel like the writing is solid enough that it justifies a crossover. But you couple very solid writing, easily the best of the new 52 writing in this book. If you couple that with J.H. Williams' art and him trying new things that he's never really done before with his art, and the panel layout that is so inventive and telling me more on a 2-page spread than most people could
right
tell
here?
Me in a 20-page comic.
This one?
I was specifically thinking about the meditation scene
the
general and Bette. He
right.
is telling me more in 2 pages than most writers and artists can tell me in an entire book.
Yep.
And it was really wordy. There was a lot of... This was probably the book that took me the longest to read.
Oh, by far.
Of all the books I bought this week. But it was worth every penny of it. This is crossover done right.
Oh, yeah. Wonder Woman and Batwoman together are a solid, solid team. And I love how you really figure out and really dive into how inferior Kate Kane feels to Wonder Woman.
And how well the interior monologues are written.
Oh, yeah, because they have very distinct personalities.
And the way that you can see how these two women just respect each other so much, but are so different from one another.
Oh, yeah, and for me, I love the 2-page spread of when it's all dark and they have, you know, those creatures, bugs
all
over them.
Oh, yeah, this is vintage J.H. Williams art.
I love that. I mean, it was just cool.
If you're into inventive layouts like this, and
that
you love this art... Well, that one was the way to go. And if you want
to
go back and read some stuff from the archives, go buy all 5 books of Promethea.
Oh,
written
yeah,
by Alan Moore,
did.
Art by J.H. Williams III. He uses the same sensibility for layout. And it's phenomenal. It was phenomenal.
So what's your score then?
Easily an adore.
Yeah, mine as
easily
well.
Easily an adore.
I don't know if I'll continue Batwoman after the crossover, but
for sure everyone should be picking up this crossover.
Oh, I'm hooked right now. Yeah, this will make you love Wonder Woman.
I mean, the labyrinth that's a bat symbol when you look at it carefully.
Was it really? I didn't
take a look
on that.
It's a bat. It's Kate Kane's bat symbol.
No.
That's the kind of art you get from a J.H. Williams book, and that's why everybody...
It is!
Everybody should be spending $3
wow,
on this
I had
book.
No idea. That is... How did you pick up on that?
Because
you're smart,
you read
and you're
no,
brilliant.
Because I read J.H. Williams' art very carefully.
Yeah, that's
because he never does anything by chance. He and David Aja, which we'll also talk about, are two artists where there is not a single line put on the page that doesn't need to be there to tell the story that he wants to tell.
Oh man, that is so cool.
It's
yeah,
astonishing.
It's your symbol. It's your
it's
bat
astonishing.
Symbol.
It's easily, yeah. Again, you should be buying this for the art alone, even if the writing was horrible. But it's not. It's great. And
oh,
everyone
yeah.
should be buying it.
Adore. Yeah. Loved it. Now on to Catwoman, number 13.
Catwoman. How,
Death of the Family Cross.
It's great looking because it's got that die cut by Greg Capullo
on
the front.
If you're getting this for the crossover, don't. Save your $3. It was pointless.
At least it was only $3.
Ugh,
at least it wasn't
pointless.
$4.
Like, once again, I mean... Batgirl didn't really have much to tie into the death of the family.
But it was a solid issue.
Oh, it was a solid issue. This? No. It's Joker in the background who is taunting Selina Kyle with the old toy that she gave a friend who died, I guess. Then they don't really explore it.
Hmm.
She's like, oh, I got this toy. Who knows me? Blah, blah, blah. And then it's... And then there's a green Cheshire cat. And then the rest goes on to the story about her doing a chess piece... thing with some gang. I don't know.
I was excited for Ann Nocenti to take over this book because she's written some good stuff in the past, but
no,
the Zero issue sucked and this issue sucked, so I don't think we're missing anything.
Yeah,
not
and the artwork's good. It's good, but it just doesn't flow at all. It doesn't flow because in Batgirl, the tie and Ellie's flowed, and it made sense.
It fit in the chronology of the book.
This doesn't fit. It was just kind of put there, and I don't know why it even is part of it, the death of the family. It should be a prequel.
For money?
For money, yeah. And they got my money, and it sold well because it sold out.
It sold out. When I went to my store, I got there at 10:03, and the store opens at 10. They already did not have a single one on the wall, and there was already a paper where it should be saying, oh, would you like Catwoman 13? We can order you a second printing. It'll be out on November 14th. And if you want any more of this Death of the Family stuff, you probably better put it on a pull list now.
Yeah, and I...
Because Batgirl was also... They didn't have a single extra issue of Batgirl last week.
Yeah.
So I was glad it was on my pull list, because otherwise I wouldn't have gotten it.
Yeah.
I think there was two issues of Batman before they... But like, that's all that was left over. By the time...
But Batman, they probably get a lot of because it's Batman is
they
popular.
Do. I'm sure they get more of Batman, but still, it was gone by Thursday when I went to the store.
The problem is, with Batgirl and Catwoman, is there people who are getting these for the tie-in issues, if this is their first taste...
They'll be disappointed.
They'll be disappointed. And hopefully, I think later on you see more Nightwing and more of Batgirl in the next issue. You're going to see more of actually how it ties into Death of the Family.
Well, because it won't be the prologue anymore. It'll be a defined part of it.
But it's just, I was really disappointed. I thought it had a little bit more to it, but it didn't. Right, so I'm going to give it, ignore it. Completely ignore it. Now moving on to Green Lantern New Guardians. This is a crossover with the Third Army. It was better than the Zero issue. The artwork, man, it's a different artist from the Zero issue, but still, like, Kyle Rayner's face just looks like a little child sometimes. It looks squished, and then his mask was huge on his face. And even then, the writing... So, Kyle Rayner has elements of all the different...
See, that's what I was going to ask you about.
Okay.
Apparently, he can control all of the different ones because he's an artist?
That's why it is?
I don't know. That's what I read something online.
Okay,
that's what it made it sound like.
What I'm gathering, because I have not been reading the New Guardians until the Zero issue, and I'm going to definitely stop after this crossover, the Third Army, is that all the rings were drawn to him, and I don't know why they're drawn to him, but as a result, his...
Because he's an artist, baby.
Is that what it was?
I don't know.
Hope not.
That's what I read.
Oh, gosh.
That's what the internet's
maybe
told
they're making,
me.
Maybe they're making fun of the whole concept, but his Green Lantern ring now has traces of all the other emotions in it. So now what he has to do...
So he's like Captain Planet.
Oh, gosh.
Because he combines with their powers combined, he is Captain Kyle Rayner.
Heart! That was always so frustrating, is that Heart was never there.
Hey, baby, that's Star Sapphire.
Yeah.
She's the Heart.
Well, there's a little flirting going on. Some people speculate that maybe something with Kyle and Carol Ferris, but they found that Hal Jordan had a ring that he... And so the people speculate that he was maybe going to propose to
Carol
Ferris. Yeah. Who knows? I hope so. I think it'd be good development. Anyway, so he has all these elements, so he has to now find, Atrocitus and Archilo for the Yellow Fear and Saint Walker for Hope and whatever. So he has to go be trained about how to really develop them and use them because he doesn't really know how to use them.
Uh-huh.
But it starts with him being trained by Atrocitus without any segue into how it happened.
It starts in Medias Res.
Yeah,
just like in the middle of the scene.
Did I miss something here? So I had to read the Zero issue to seem like, no, I didn't miss anything. It was just kind of confusing, convoluted. When he turns into his Red Lantern, it was kind of emotionally lost. It was him being exposed to basically people in the Middle East murdering innocents. But it just didn't really resonate in the sense where it could have been good, but it just... The wording didn't really flow, but his costume was way cool as Red Lantern. It was like this Viking thing. I really liked it. Anyway, I'm going to give an explore it. I think it will play important into the crossover. I think Kyle will have an integral part. So I will say, if you're really wanting to get everything for the crossover, definitely pick it up. But if you're just a casual Green Lantern fan who's just wants the bare minimum for the crossover, you'll be fine not having this. I think Green Lantern Core would be good to pick up, but Green Lantern New Guardian, I think you're fine not having, unless you're like a collector and you want all of the issues that tie into the Third Army crossover. So I'll give it an explore. It wasn't ignore it, but it was definitely just an explore it.
Okay.
Anyway,
Justice League
issue 13. This is
Fallout from the 12.
Yep. Reintroduction. Well, okay. Fallout of the 12. All it was Wonder Woman, Princess Diana telling Superman, "Oh, what happened? Whatever," and then Superman's like, "Oh, but wasn't it great?
Yeah. Don't you want to make out again,
yeah,
baby?"
So it's like, you have this big, huge
dude,
kiss.
Dude, who wouldn't want to make out with Wonder Woman?
Oh, yes, who wouldn't? Anyway, she just kind of storms off, and it's like, what? You have this big thing, and then now they're, what's going to happen? Either go all the way or don't.
Amen. So my question is this. How was Cheetah as a villain that all of the Justice League needed to face?
Because
that's my, like, Cheetah seems like a villain that Wonder Woman should be able to take by herself.
This is what I was going to say. Cheetah, who is the same Barbara Ann Minerva that she was in the pre-52. It's Barbara.
Uh-huh.
She's great. This is a great introduction to her. Like, she's fierce. And she's nasty.
Cool.
And the thing is it makes sense why Wonder Woman dumped Steve and Trevor and why she wants to be isolated, because it's because of Wonder Woman that Barbara turned into Cheetah.
Is that so?
It is. So she blames herself for that. That's why she doesn't really want anyone who is not superhuman to be close to her.
That makes sense.
Kissed Superman. So it's still stupid, but it makes sense. Anyway, talking about the Superman kiss. I would say she's formidable because they want to help Deanna. They want her to know that we are here for you. You don't have to do this alone. And she is mighty fierce. And she deals... It's in the Amazon, where that's her territory, which they don't know the Amazon whatsoever. And at the end, spoiler, 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 she inflicts Superman with her cheetah powers and he turns into another cheetah. And that's the end of how it goes. So I think she is a formidable foe for the Justice League. Because it's just this whole element of, it's this world that they're not familiar with. And she is nasty, and she can draw on mythical powers and kind of a more sorcery. And so I really liked it. And at the end, there's something with Steve and Trevor meeting with Amanda Waller.
Uh-huh.
And it goes into how important he is and how he's just a really great government agent and he has special skills. I don't know what those are. But it really developed into why he's important and why he should be involved with Justice League of America. And it
Very
gets
cool.
you excited for him. So I want to give it a Dord, actually. And
really?
The artwork by Tony Daniels.
Tony Daniels is a good artist.
Oh, I loved it. I thought he did a solid, solid job. So this was a great story arc to pick up. I would say you could pick up 13 and get started and be just fine.
Very cool.
You don't need to know issue 12 or the zero issue.
Very cool.
It was a good, solid Justice League book. So one of the best that's come out in this new 52. As I said, the Cheetah was awesome. She was a great character, and it really developed Wonder Woman a lot more than I liked. So,
well, that's cool.
Anyway, now Wonder Woman issue 13.
Let's
I've been
talk.
Talking. You get us started.
First off, it's not Cliff Chang doing art. It's Tony Akins doing art, and it's good, but it's not Cliff Chang.
Yeah.
And that's what I thought Cliff the Chang. Entire book. I was like, ah, this is good, but it's no Cliff. So anyway, come back soon, friend. This was a largely expository and setup
yeah.
issue. It was
good.
It was good, but you know, if you want to see a dude get his head bit in half, then this is the book for you.
Yeah. Do you think that's Zeus?
No, Zeus. No, I don't think so.
Who do you think that is? That came in the beginning.
Why would he be the one with no name if he is Zeus?
Yeah, that's true. The first.
I don't know.
Born,
There's some creepy, creepy dude who ate a dude's head. So if you want to see that, cool. If you want to see Wonder Woman have quibbles with people, cool.
Well, you
but
see
it was mostly just...
You see the introduction of a new god, or not the new gods, but another Greek god, Dionysus?
Dionysus, yeah.
Who is the god of wine
He's
ecstasy.
The god of revelry, all
yeah.
that kind of stuff.
Kind of partying.
He's the opposite of Apollo. Apollo is the god of wisdom. Dionysus is the god of like, you know, revelry and that
yeah.
kind of stuff. Worldliness.
How do you like his character design?
I think that it's inventive.
Yeah,
it's not what
cool.
I expected.
Yeah, me too.
Anyway, I love all of the design of all of the gods in this series.
Yeah, War looks great.
Yeah, anyway, I'm going to give this issue an explore it, ultimately. I think that it's a solid issue to start a new arc, but it's not one that blew me out of the water.
Yeah, and
it didn't
for new,
hit it out of the
park. For new readers, I would say don't base your judgment of Wonder Woman off this issue alone.
Buy that zero issue, be floored, and then say, okay, I need to stick around
yeah.
with this for a while.
Because this is...
Stick with this book.
This was an okay book, but it's not how it usually is. Because
no,
I usually give Wonder Woman a door
it.
Yeah.
You gotta let it build.
So... Anyway, now on to IDW, or Image, sorry.
No,
Image.
IDW first, because
yeah,
I put
yeah.
them in the wrong order alphabetically.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay, IDW, Godzilla, issue 3 of the Half-Century War.
I didn't get a copy of it, which we'll talk about in the features episode, why I don't have a copy, but I'll have a copy in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I have a copy of it, and it wasn't as good as the second issue, but that's like saying Star Wars A New Hope is not as good as Empire Strikes Back.
Because it's not, but it's still Star Wars.
It's still amazing, yeah. And that's how this one was. I'm glad that it, look, it takes place in Ghana, in Africa, in the 70s. And it's all the monsters now coming out. All the monsters come out duking it in Ghana. And they don't know why they're all concentrated in this one place. The cool thing is, we now have an actual villain to hate. Because I felt like Godzilla was your villain.
He's a force of nature more than a force of villainy, though.
Yes, but you have a Dr. Devarich, who, he's the one that created the machine at the very end of issue 2. What the machine does is it draws these monsters together.
Oh,
it draws them
okay.
in. I don't know how it does it.
Something and, about the frequencies of wavelengths
and he,
or something.
Basically, the government kind of screwed him over, so he's getting back to them by selling this weapon now to other governments. And you really do hate the guy. Anyway, another solid, fun issue. The artwork is still great. I'm glad that they now give us the name of all the monsters for people like me who are not familiar with Godzilla. And once again...
Oh, did they finally give names for everybody?
Yeah, they finally have them
all. Like, who all is in this one?
Oh, maybe you'll be excited by this because I... Because
I haven't read it.
Yeah, okay. So, let me find the page here. You have... Megalon, Mothra...
Oh!
Rodan, Ibira, Hedora, and Batra. Yeah.
King Ghidorah!
Look, right there. That's them all. And they're just duking out in Ghana, this whole city.
I want to read it!
Yeah, it was awesome. So, once again, look, I'm not a Godzilla fan, but listeners, you should
James
be picking
Stokoe's
up.
James Stokoe's art is worth the price of admission alone. But it's also well written. So.
Oh, it's great. I look forward to this issue or this series every single month. And I'm glad it's only a miniseries, but still, it's great. And it flows
granted,
well.
Granted, at this point,
awesome.
You're probably not going to get issues 1 and 2, so wait for a trade.
Yeah.
It's been good, huh?
Oh, adore it. I'm going to, once again, adore this issue. Adore this series.
What the heck,
it's
guys.
Awesome.
What the
yeah.
heck?
Okay, now on to Image.
Now let's do some Image. First off, Cyberforce. This was a free book, or 25 cents if you go to my store, because they didn't want people taking 7 or 8 copies. So they charged a quarter for it, just to basically make sure that people were only getting 1 or 2. This was basically mostly financed to do a Kickstarter, which is why they're able to give issues 1 through 5 away. In terms of the way that it looks, it's a beautiful cover. Mark Silvestri is one of the guys who started Image back in the 20 years ago.
In the 20s. It's been a long time.
Anyway, he did the cover, and it looks astonishing. It's a great-looking book. Koi Pom does the inside artwork, and it really is good-looking. But, frankly, I was a little lost. I didn't know anything about Cyberforce going into this book, and I don't know a whole lot about Cyberforce coming out of this book.
If you weren't charged 25 cents, would you have picked it up? If you're charged maybe $3 or $4.
If it was a normal $4 book, I wouldn't have bought it. I would have been disappointed. But for a quarter, heck yes, I'll pick up the rest of the arc. I'll pick up $1.25 for 20. If I can get an arc of comics with no nonsense for $1.25, that's a steal. Even if they suck. But it was okay. It was beautiful to look at. I just didn't really get it. I don't really know who the characters are. I don't know anything about them.
So there's no introduction to the characters.
Not
you're
really.
Just kind of thrown
not
in
really.
There.
Really. There's a lot of like, there's like weird cyber people. And that's really all I know. I give it an explore it because it was free. If it was money, I probably would have said ignore it.
Really?
But because it was 25 cents or free, explore it. Go pick it up. Why not? It's free.
Yeah.
Next up.
I don't even know if my store even had it. They probably didn't because it's Image.
Your store never carries Image. Again, which we'll talk about that in the Features episode, so definitely check out the Features episode. Also, we'll talk about this book, Glory. Glory issue 29.
You've been missing this series.
After a 2-month hiatus, we got back to some Glory. Because, you know, Ross Campbell's got to have time to catch up. Because there's only one artist on this book. We're not doing rotating artists, so we've got to give them some time to catch up. And it hasn't been selling well, so they had to increase the price to $3.99. And if this book gets canceled because people who are not me are not buying it, I will be furious with the comic buying world. Because this book should not get canceled. This is... I called my pull list this week. I took a bunch of things off of it. I took, like, all of the Image books... Or the Image books. All the Valiant books other than XO Man of War off. I culled some DC and some Marvel off of my list. I couldn't touch my Image stuff because Image puts out so many good books. And this is one of their best ones. You should be buying this. The trade of the first 6 or 7 issues, is available right now for 10 $5.
What's a DC Marvel trade when it
first comes out? A DC Marvel hardcover is $30. A trade is $20. You can get it for $10. It's 6 issues of comics for $10. You do the math. That's a steal.
Cheaper than how they should be charging you.
It's a steal. It's a steal. So go pick it up. And if you liked it, find this issue. It was a great start to a new arc. We're meeting... Glory knows she needs to go and attack these aliens who attacked her earlier on. She needs to go on the offensive. But to do so, she needs the help of her little sister. And her little sister is the worst. And by the worst, I mean she's just like... She's a force of nature. You think Glory is powerful and terrifying. Oh no, her sister is far worse. Far worse. Anyway, it's gorgeous to look at. Ross Campbell's art is astonishing. Joe Keating knows how to pace a comic just about perfectly. And it was just... I was really happy to have this book back. This was all background. This was all talking. There was no action or violence whatsoever in this book. And I didn't care. It was perfectly structured. And I give it an adore it. And you should all be buying Glory. And next up, my last Image book, It Girl and the Atomics. This is Mike Allred's property. In case you don't know, I'm a huge Mike Allred fan.
Who is now doing Future Foundation, right?
He's the reason I'll be picking up Future Foundation. That and the fact that Matt Fraction is writing it, and the fact that it's an awesome team of Ant-Man. Granted, I'm not sure which Ant-Man. Do we know which Ant-Man?
Yes,
thanks to part one?
Yeah, we'll talk about that. It's not Hank.
I didn't think it would be Hank.
I wish it was Hank.
Hank's busy being the Scientist Supreme, okay?
That would have been great, though, because if you're going to do Ant-Man, especially for the movie that comes out... Well, the movie's not Hank either, though.
No, the movie's not going to be Hank. It's probably going to be this guy.
I wish it was Hank.
It's okay. It happens.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Mike Allred created the Atomics as the team around Madman. But Madman is off doing cosmic adventures, and so It Girl is essentially the leader of the Atomics at this point. It Girl's awesome. That's a fact. She's cool. This is a fun comic. It's well written. It's well scripted. It's not perfect, but I'm enjoying myself. I'm going to give it a high explore it. If you like Mike Allred's Atomics series, then this is a great continuation of those series. I don't really know much going in, but I'm enjoying myself. And I think that It Girl is a cool character. And yeah, so I'm going to give it a high explore it. Those are my Image books.
All right, well, now on to Marvel, AVX Consequences number 2.
Now, I know a lot of people didn't really like this book.
Yeah, they didn't really like the first one.
No, the first one got pretty good reviews.
Oh, really?
This one got worse reviews. It was a little talky, but I really enjoyed it. Essentially, I come to understand Cyclops much better here. Cyclops wants to be a martyr. He wants to die, and he wants to be a martyr.
What'd he be a martyr for?
Because thanks to his meddling, mutant kind has been reborn. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he wants to die. And so issue one ended with Logan showing up to talk to Scott Summers. And that's where 2/3 of this issue is. Them sitting in a room in this detention facility, Wolverine chugging beers, and Scott sitting there uncomfortably. Like, this is a 2-page spread of Wolverine chugging beers and Scott sitting there uncomfortably. And the only word that is said on the entire page is Chuck. I felt like this was an emotionally resonant comic.
Yeah.
I feel like Kieran Gillen is doing really solid work to tie up AVX and to make AVX more meaningful to me. If this stays this way for the next 3 issues, it will have not reversed necessarily, but have drastically improved my opinion of AVX as a crossover.
Yeah, because I have no desire to read AVX.
I think that if this stays as good as it has been these first 2 issues, I think that you'll want to borrow them all from me.
Really?
And just read the whole thing. Read all 13 issues of the
and
crossover.
Read the consequences.
Read all 5 of the consequences and all 6 of the Versus books. And I think that... Yes, I just told you to read 22 comics or something like that, but I think that you will be glad you did when it's
all
said
and done.
Well,
so are you saying that Consequences could be mandatory reading after AVX?
If you read AVX and you want AVX to mean something, you need to have read. You need to keep reading this. See, here's what it all boils down to. Wolverine almost kills Cyclops in this issue. He's got his claws out ready to jam him into his chest. And then he says, "You want it." Cyclops says, of course I do. I'm dead weight now. I've done everything I can do. I die now, and I'm a martyr. And in a few years, some rebellious little kid is going to turn up at your school with me on his t-shirt. Cyclops was right. So he really feels like he wants to be a martyr. He wants to go down as the
So he has no catalyst. Remorse, though, for what he did.
No, none whatsoever. He feels bad that Charles Xavier died, but he doesn't feel any remorse. And this issue ends with a group of people coming at Cyclops with prison shivs. And that's how it ends. And I don't know. I mean, we've seen Cyclops in the stuff for, like, Marvel now. But I don't know how he's going to survive this. Maybe it was just a fun teaser for fun to trick you into thinking he was going to survive.
Maybe he dies.
I don't know. It's interesting. Ultimately, I think I'm going to give it a high explore it. But if this whole series... And the nice thing is Kieran Gillen is writing all himself. All five issues. So, you know, there's none of that inconsistency with different writers doing different things with different characters.
I think that's what hurt AVX.
I didn't help AVX, that's for sure. But like I say, if it continues at this quality, it will be required reading, and it will tie up AVX really, really well. Okay.
There you go. All right, now on to Captain Marvel number 5. We have kind of conflicting
divergent
viewpoints. Not on here. The writing, though. We both agree the writing was, I would say, Kelly Sue DeConnick's best on Captain Marvel.
It was my favorite issue so far. And I just want to mention this, because this does not happen in comics. Kelly Sue DeConnick, writer. Her gender?
Female.
Emma Rios, artist.
Female.
Jordi Belair, colorist.
Female.
Terry and Rachel Dodson. Rachel Dodson?
Female.
They did the cover. This book, with the exception of Terry helping his wife do the cover, the entire book was done by women. And that makes this book that much more important to me. Because this is a book about... I mean, you know, what's this book about?
This book is about women, but I would say there's kind of statements being made. Because
this story arc specifically is about women sticking it to the man.
Oh, yeah.
And sticking up for themselves.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's why.
Rightfully so.
That's why I feel like
Helen Cobb and her other friends get screwed over by men.
Oh, yeah.
In this story arc so far.
I felt like it was. And the fact that women entirely created this comic made it that much more resonant to me.
I'm sure it resonated to themselves. I'm sure they were totally stoked that it's just a bunch of...
Oh, yeah. And I know that you didn't really care for the art very much,
right? That's the thing that... I'm going to give this issue an explore because the art... I loved Soy's.
I loved Dexter Soy's art, too.
I loved it. And
but
this, I
Emma Rios' even
yeah,
more.
Yeah, I didn't.
I felt like it was kinetic and dynamic, and I love her use of shadow. And, dude, watching Helen Cobb punch that guard in the face with brass knuckles.
Yeah, that was great.
If I didn't have Hawkeye come out this week, that would have been my hero moment of the week.
I don't like how the faces look. That's the thing.
I loved it. I thought it was so well constructed.
Yeah,
It just fit the writing style to me.
I disagree. I don't.
That's okay.
I think it was okay. To me, it was jarring.
I adored it. And it ended in a really interesting, precipitous place. I think we're going to have a very interesting issue 6 because that ends her traveling through time arc.
Now
issue 6.
Yeah, yeah.
So we'll get one more issue of this. We'll see her get her powers. Should be good.
Mm-hmm.
I adored it, if you couldn't tell. I thought this was easily the second best comic I bought this week. Easily. Even better than Batwoman.
Oh, really? Batwoman was my second favorite.
I feel like it was even more solid than Batwoman.
Yeah, Batwoman was my second favorite.
I love this book. Thank you, Kelly Sue DeConnick. Thank you, Emma Rios, for doing amazing art. That was great. I loved it.
All right, so now moving on to Daredevil.
Daredevil. We were left in quite a precipitous place last issue.
Mm-hmm.
What happened?
Last issue or this issue?
This issue.
This issue. Well, where is my Daredevil? I don't know what I did with it. Anyway, I bought Daredevil.
It's open right there because it's one of your
moments. Yeah, here we go. Okay, so Daredevil, is Matt Murdock crazy or not? We now know the verdict of that. No pun intended with him being a lawyer.
Yes, but no. but yes, but
he's being played by the Spot, which I don't know much about the Spot at all.
I don't know anything about him other than that first issue, when he appeared in that first issue for the first three pages. That's all I know about him.
Yeah, so I love his new costume design, being the... Well, I won't reveal who he is at the end, but anyway, this was... I was glad to know that Matt Murdock wasn't losing it, because I'm glad that he has progressed in his life, he is making good changes, because you do want to see the hero rise from the ashes, if you will. And, but Matt, or Foggy, wow. I hate Foggy. Oh, sorry. I strongly dislike Foggy in this issue, and he'll be my villain moment of the week, but he just totally is... And I understand where he's coming from, though, because he's been there thick and thin for Matt Murdock, and I think he finally is fed up, but, man, should have trusted him. You know what I mean? Should have trusted him. But the end page of Daredevil...
Yeah. Spoiler alert, 30 seconds ahead. What is going on here? Is he really decapitated?
Oh, yeah, because he has a Spot technology, but he's still functioning. He just has a Spot over his neck.
I guess.
It's cool, though. It was great.
I guess.
I thought it was awesome. That was so quirky and so comic booky, but it worked really well. So I'm going to give this issue another adore it.
Me too.
I thought it was solid.
Chris Samnee's art is as good as always. I mean, it always looks great ever since he came on this book. I was really sad when Paulo Rivera left. I was like, who's going to replace him? Samnee does great work.
Oh, yeah.
Every issue.
And I feel like he really captures the tone of Mark Waid's writing.
And it's just, it's dynamic.
Because even though you and I didn't like Rocketeer Cargo of Doom, I feel like the artwork matched the style that
Mark
Waid was going for.
Definitely did.
So anyway.
I definitely give it an adore as well. It's a great book.
Now, Hawkeye number 3. Now I'm going to let you just take this away because this is your issue.
This was the best comic book I read in 2012.
I'd say it's my second. My first one was Batman issue 5.
I honestly think this is the single greatest issue I have read the entire year. IGN gave it 9.8. Try 11 out of 10, guys. 11 out of 10. Every image on every page of this book needed to be exactly where it was. Now, here's the thing. How often do you see car chases in comic books?
You see quite a bit.
Do you?
Maybe in Batman there's always car chases.
Batman, there's occasionally car chases.
But they're not really...
When have you seen a car chase in the Batman book in this year?
Oh.
Not one.
No, well, not the Batman one, but Batman Dark Knight. There's one recently.
But still.
That's true.
You don't see them very often. And I have a theory as to why.
They're not that exciting in comic book.
Because it's static images, it's hard to convey something that we understand. Because you've been in a car. You've driven in a car really fast. So you know what it's like to be in a car.
But the intensity is gone, I feel like.
You can show the Flash run faster than humanly possible. Because that's not something that I have a frame of reference for. So you can show me that and it can feel dynamic and it can feel like it's not just static on a page. But car chases almost universally in comics fall flat for me.
Yeah.
This, however, I felt every bit of this car chase.
And it was about 80% of the issue was a car chase.
Every bit of it, every image felt like it belonged in the car chase. It was, oh my gosh. Kate Bishop and Clint Barton are maybe my two favorite ever. Kate Bishop's going to be in the Young Avengers book.
Oh, is she?
That and the fact that Jamie McKelvey is the artist. We got young Loki and Kate Bishop and Miss America, and Jamie McKelvey is writing and drawing them all. And Kieran Gillen, who's doing good work on AVX, is writing it. I think I'm picking up New Avengers in January, guys. I think I'm picking it up.
See, I'll talk about this from Marvel 1.0. Marvel Now 0.1 issue. I'm not too excited about Young Avengers. I'll talk about that next. That whole issue just made me furious. But this is the thing. Kate Bishop
and bad A.
Oh, and Cliff Barton are like the perfect duo.
They're such an odd couple. The two of them. Because they have such, like, again,
they're very different.
But at the same time, they're both Hawkeye.
Yeah. Now, are there plans for her to stay on this series?
Oh yeah, this is the adventures of Clint and Kate when they're not busy being Avengers.
Good, because she needs to stay on it forever now. This issue.
Oh my gosh,
she just works so well. I like Clint Barton, but she adds so much to him. You know,
she brings out so many facets of him that you don't get otherwise.
And funny little quips and just quips. I love it.
Everything about this issue was priceless. The structure, the writing. Him having nine bad
and
ideas
going backwards.
And going through all of the bad ideas that he had during the course of the day so that you understand exactly, oh man. And there are not enough words in the world to describe how great David Ogden's art is.
Yeah, and then the trick arrows and how she was giving Cliffbarn the wrong trick arrows because he didn't label it. I mean,
the best part is all those trick arrows. He got all of the Fraction got all those trick arrows out of like a Marvel encyclopedia from the early 90s, and he ripped out the page.
Yeah, and then he like
and you saw that on the Twitter where he was like, page 15, this arrow, page 13, this arrow, page 2, this arrow. Dude, this is two people taking a property that, you know, was made moderately cool thanks to the movies. I mean, I thought Hawkeye was pretty cool thanks to the movie Avengers. So I was like, okay, a new Hawkeye book. Is there a better way to make people start reading comics than to say, oh, you liked Hawkeye and the Avengers? Here.
Love him.
Read this comic.
You will love him.
First off, all three have been standalones. So you could, if you haven't picked up this book, you don't need one and two.
The guys in this
By
one,
all means.
The bad guys in this one came from...
the bad guys from one.
Yeah.
But all you need to know is that they're a Russian gang that says bro a lot.
Exactly. You could read this one and be totally fine.
You don't need to know who they are.
No.
It's a one and done, and it's an amazing one and done. We're going to see some of these characters again, though. Cherry's going to be back in issue 7.
Yeah, she was
great. I saw the cover. And the cover of this book every month. This is the best looking book Marvel puts out.
I think it's the best book that Marvel does put out.
Oh, without a doubt.
Which is ironic, because Hawkeye is a B character.
He's a C character. So what if he's in the movies? He's still a C character. But this is the best book I read all year. It's just priceless.
Yeah, I'm going to give it an adore. Obviously, you give it an adore.
Obviously, I'm giving it an adore. It's the best book ever.
Go pick up Hawkeye. You will do yourself a huge, huge favor. Now, moving on to the Marvel.
Marvel Now. Let's
Marvel
do Marvel
Now,
now
point
one.
I'm going to be real quick with this. Waste of my money. It was $6. I got introduced to five.
You saw New Avengers.
There was Avengers.
Future Foundation or FF, whatever.
Yeah,
FF stands for these days.
Secret Avengers, which is the Nick Fury, Agent Coulson thing.
Which looks like it could be cool.
Not excited about any of this.
It's Nick Fury, Agent Coulson, and Maria Hill.
I know, but I'm still not excited about this.
Too bad.
Nova and Cable and X-Force, they have in the back Guardians of the Galaxy. If they had it in this issue, I didn't see it. There's no reference to it. Look, it takes place with Secret Avengers, Nick Fury, and Agent Coulson get introduced to this guy who's from the future, who is basically telling them what's going to happen in the future to prepare themselves about the Young Avengers and Nova and Cable and the X-Force. And that's how they introduced all these different stories. It got me excited about zero of them.
I need to take a look at it because I really want to pick up Young Avengers, and I need to see if this is...
And it might have been I was mad because I spent $6 on a worthless comic. This is a preview issue. That's what it is. And I knew that.
Yeah, that's...
$6?
That's kind of... What I heard is that it's basically just a preview issue.
The best preview issue is one that came out free last week.
The one with all of the...
Yeah,
like,
all the stories.
Thor and Iron Man.
So anyway, I'm not going to say anything more. Just ignore it. If you didn't buy it, you don't feel like you need to. Just be done. Anyway, now moving on to Ultimate Comics Iron Man number 1. I'm curious to hear how this one went for you.
Yeah, it was just okay.
That's what I heard.
It was mediocre. Apparently we're going to see the Ultimate Mandarin for the first time in this series. But it had none of the energy that the three Ultimate books have had. It was just... If it was an ongoing, I would stop at this issue. But because it's a limited series, I'll probably get all four.
Yeah.
But it was mediocre at best.
That's too bad, because you're so excited about it.
Yeah.
Now, do they have the tumor? They have little Tony?
No, little Anthony did not make a single appearance.
Wow,
not
really?
One! I just wanted him to talk to his brain, but he didn't. It's, low explore it. Kind of an ignore it.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was boring.
There you go. What about Iron Man Ultimate Comics, Iron Man number 1?
Oh, you mean Spider-Man?
Spider-Man
issue 16.
Yeah, Spider-Man, sorry. 16.
This one, it was a little bit of a treading water issue again, simply because this issue took place before President America accepted the presidency.
President America.
President Cap. Anyway, we see how awesome little Miles is because he saves people's lives. He saves Cap's life, kicks some Hydra agent's butt, and so Captain America finally realizes that, okay, maybe this kid can do it after all. This kid might have what it takes after all. So, yeah. I think that it'll be an interesting starting place for more adventures with Lil Spider-Man. I am interested to see his relationship with Spider-Woman. If you don't know, there is a Spider-Woman in the Marvel Ultimate Universe. She is a female clone of Peter Parker.
What?
With all of Peter Parker's memories.
No.
Yeah, that's who Spider-Woman is. She's this Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. right now, but she is the 19-year-old
Do you like
female
her?
Clone. I've never met her before this issue. I had to look it up online because I was like, who the F is this spider-shaped woman?
What's she look like?
She has a red costume, kind of like black costume Spider-Man, but it's red and white.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
And then
though.
She has long hair. She's cool looking.
What's her name?
They
even give it?
I think they call her Jessica Drew, which is Spider-Woman in the Marvel Universe's name. But anyway, I'm curious to see, because I think what's going to happen now that Captain America has said, okay, you're in. We'll let you, you know, train with us and stuff. I think that Spider-Woman is going to have to become Lil Spider-Man's mentor. But I don't know how well that's going to turn out. But at any rate, I really enjoy this book. Bendis does good work. I'm really excited in a couple of issues when Sarah Pacelli comes back on the art. And they're going to run into Ultimate Venom.
Ooh.
I've never read any of the Ultimate stuff with Venom, but I've heard he's even more twisted than in the Marvel Universe.
So what are you giving this issue?
I'll give it a low adore it, but I think I still adored it. I love the series every month that it comes out.
There you go.
Next issue is a 16.1, so it's a 0.1 starting off point. So if any of you are listening to this and they're like, oh, Ultimate Spider-Man with little 13-year-old half-black, half-Latino Spider-Man, I'm in. Start with 16.1.
Yeah.
It's a good place to start.
There you go. All right, now on to Valiant. Harbinger number 5.
Harbinger number 5. Harbinger was finally good.
Yeah, because the first four issues, they're all right.
It was
finally
good.
There's one I loved. I think it was the second one, and then after that, I'm like, meh.
No, this was finally good. The fight is starting between Harada and his people and Peter, and Peter's going to start building a little resistance of his own. He and Faith just broke out. Faith can fly, by the way.
Oh, she got her powers from Peter? Did it work last issue?
She can fly. She's a superhero.
Wow. Anything
There's
else?
This,
is she strong?
No, she's not. Because they make a joke about that. Because she catches him in midair. And she says, a little super strength wouldn't have hurt. You could have at least given me that too. I think I pulled my shoulder.
Now, is she... Because I know in the old continuity, she was very thin. And this one...
No, she wasn't.
She wasn't thin?
No. She was chunkier in the old continuity.
Was she? I thought I saw a picture where she was thin.
No, she's still... She's still... Hey... Still a big girl.
I thought she was thin, all continuity.
I don't think so. At any rate, I love this. She's like, you can fly? And she says, heck yeah, it worked! You made me a real-life superhero! And I so totally saved you from those jerks. Boom! I'm gonna be the greatest superhero ever. Joss Whedon's gonna make a freaking movie about me starring Christina Hendricks!
Are you serious?
That's what she says.
That's great.
I really like Faith. I said I took this off my pull list. I just can't afford it to pick it up anymore, but I'm hopeful that Faith remains a force for good on this book. And I'm going to give this a high explore it on the verge of adore it. This was the first really, really good issue of Harbinger.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it.
But you're really not did. Having it on your pull list.
I just can't afford it
anymore. Yeah, I'll bet.
With all the Marvel Now stuff coming out that I want to try, you know, FF, Young Avengers, Uncanny Avengers X-Force, Assemble. Avenger, I can't afford it.
Yeah. All right, now X-Men of War number 6.
Boom!
Ninjak.
Ninjak's awesome. I think Ninjak and Eric are going to have to team up to save humanity.
Why?
From the Vine. Because the Vine's...
Really? From the Vine?
Yeah.
Because wasn't the Vine the ones that kind of originally hired him?
Yeah, but...
He's going rogue on him, huh?
Well... Once they explain that the Vine's plan is to destroy the whole planet to get the armor back, they're going to completely obliterate mankind. Something tells me that Ninjak will stop fighting against Eric and start fighting with him if it's, oh, we want our entire planet to survive? I would choose to live. So, anyway, I really enjoyed this issue. I give it and adore it. I really like XO. That's why it's the one I kept. Of all the Valiant books, it's a solid book.
Yeah, wow.
Enjoy it.
Anyway, so now that's our review is down to Hero Moment of the Week. Braden, get us started.
Hawkeye. The entire book Hawkeye. Every moment of it was perfectly plotted. But I think my moment has to be when Kate Bishop pulls up, gets into the car that Clint has just purchased from Cherry.
Which she
stole. a 70 Dodge Challenger. It's a beautiful red car. And Kate Bishop gets in and says, how's it going to feel deep down in your man bits when I drive this car better than you ever dreamed was possible? Because I'm about to.
That was the best line in the whole issue.
Kate Bishop, she's amazing. That's all I have to say. She's the best.
Yeah, that was great. Mine is Wonder Woman. It's, look, why can't, oh,
Hera. Well, Hera has now been depowered and is mortal.
Brain fart, which happens almost every episode. Hera's depowered. She's immortal now, and it's her and Zola. And Zola, if you don't know, if you've been following the series, she is pregnant with the child of Zeus, and she, as a result, was definitely feeling the wrath of Hera. And now they're together, and man, Zola just takes the moment to try and beat the crap out of Hera. And what does Wonder Woman do? She saves Hera's life. Basically, and stop Zola from being interrupted. It's like, Wonder Woman, Hera tried to kill you as well, and she was maniacal and devious and just awful. But that's what makes Wonder Woman so great, is that she always stands up for those who are in need and help. And it's just another reason why I think Wonder Woman is one of the best characters in comic books.
She's great. She's totally, totally awesome.
Yeah. So anyway,
what's your villain moment?
My villain moment has to be Foggy in Daredevil. He is drunk at a bar. He's talking to Kristen, who was kind of a new flame for Matt Murdock. And she suspects that Matt Murdock is Daredevil.
Yeah.
But he always tries to, you know, brush her aside. Anyway, Foggy basically tells her that, look, Matt Murdock is Daredevil. He has a troubled past. Stay away from him. He's awful. And she even says, like, look, hey, you need to stop. Like,
I'm the DA.
I'm the DA.
Everything you say to me is on the record. Nothing is off the record. I am the DA.
Yeah. And so, but he keeps going and whatever, but it's like, dude, that is your best friend that you're now ranting about. And I know that you're drunk, but that was just, well, because we don't know what's going to happen now. Is he going to be attacked by the DA office, by the local authorities? Who knows?
Yeah.
And one more thing to add on to his plate.
That's the last thing he needs.
So Foggy Nelson, you are my villain of the week.
Yeah, he's been having a trouble the last few issues.
Yeah, so what's yours?
My villain moment of the week comes from Batwoman 13, and it's the scheming of Bones and Chase, making up scenarios for how they're going to deal with Batwoman if she comes back. Because clearly they're not on the up and up. As much as I wanted to think that they were and that they would be good allies for Kate, they're clearly not on the up and up. Because they have all these contingency plans for if and when things go south. And they're just horrible people.
Were they allies? I'm not familiar with them.
They are. She's currently working for the DEO, which is a government agency. And she and Wonder Woman is working for them. That's where she's getting all the things like the submarine and the flying stuff.
Oh, you mean Batwoman's working for
them? Batwoman, yeah. She's working for them.
And
she turned down Batman Incorporated to work for the DEO instead.
And Bones works for the DEO.
Bones is the director.
Oh, the director?
Of the DEO.
Oh, crazy government people.
Yeah. He's not actually just Bones. It's just that all of his muscles and skin are invisible.
Oh.
So all you can see are his bones.
That's kind of cool.
But he has, like, skin and normal stuff around them.
Did they ever
so that's why,
why
he does things like... he's an old character. He's been around for years. So yeah. I'm sure they explained it at some point. But
yeah.
Granted, you don't see him in any other part of the Marvel Universe or the DC Universe because he probably doesn't exist in the New 52 except for this book because this book is a pre-New 52 book that just got stuck in the New 52. But at any rate... yeah, the fact that they have all of these scenarios about, like, we threaten her father till she tells us everything we want, she gets killed, no big deal, or, oh, well then, we'll just use Bette to be our new recruit, and then, what if Batwoman runs, and Bone says, I got a contingency plan for that too, but it's dirty pool, maybe too dirty, even for me. What is that contingency plan? Terrifying. Terrifying.
Wow, there you go. Anyway, that's a review episode for the week, and definitely let us know what you thought of, especially stuff like Hawkeye, if you loved as much as we did...
Or if you think we're crazy for loving it so much.
Yeah, or Captain Marvel, did you agree with me on the art?
Did you also think Emma Rios was astonishing like I did?
Yeah, so anyway, and if you're upset about Catwoman and wasting your money, please, I want to hear it because I'm right there with you.
You just want some company in your suffering.
I do want some company in my venting and whatnot. Anyway, so let us know. Email us at talkbetweenthebubbles.com. Let us know on Twitter, BTWNBBLS. Or, of course, our Facebook page, Between the Bubbles. Definitely like us on Facebook. So, until next time, though, happy reading.